Hi, my name is Nicole Heimer, and I am the owner and creative director at Glorian Brand. And today we are going to be talking about efficiency is beautiful, essential automation for interior design firms. So we have been building websites, doing branding, building automations for about 12 years for specifically interior design firms, kitchen designers, window treatment professionals, design-related brands, anything in the shelter space. So this is something that we do every day, and I am delighted to talk about it because automation is awesome. It is something that, yes, can save you time, but there are a lot of other benefits, which we're going to go into. Before we do that, let's talk about what we mean by automation in this context. We are talking about the mechanization of repetitive tasks that a human doesn't need to be doing, allowing you and your team to focus on more high-touch custom tasks. So, our goal with this discussion today is not, this is not going to be like we're doing screenshots and we're like, click here, click there. Our goal is for you to walk out of here with a list of ideas for automations that you can implement. We want you to walk out of here knowing what you want to do, that you can do it, and the first steps for how you're going to get this done. Clickers, awesome. Okay, so why automate? The most obvious thing, of course, is to save time. This is probably the first thing that you think of when you think of why you would want to automate, right? And fact, automation will save you time. What we're going to be talking about today is, yes, marketing automation, which is time-saving and has other benefits, but also creating connections, moving data from one software to another, things that are going to save you small amounts of time and big amounts of time. But also create consistency. So the saving of time is amazing, but the fact that we can save ourselves from ourselves by creating consistency with automation is one of the bigger benefits. There are things that we might implement in our systems that we want them to be 100% consistent. As soon as you implement automation, as soon as you weave it into a process, you have no choice. You are going to be a lot more consistent about it. It is a beautiful thing. But the other thing that this does for you is targeting. So if we're talking about marketing automation specifically, as soon as you start to automate, you are bringing in the ability to do things like send a different piece of information to someone who clicked on something. Send a custom personalized message to someone who visited a page on your website. Personalization and customization are so impactful. They're going to make your marketing so much better. It is, it's a huge benefit. But also, strategy. Because when you start to automate, when you start to think of ways to automate little and big elements of your process, you have no choice but to drill down on what you are doing. You can't make exceptions. You need to think about your process in a totally new way. You can't be lax about it. You're making decisions, and they're being written in stone, essentially. So who here has like documented processes? Awesome, right? And so those of you who do, you know, right? Like, it's not like you document your processes and then like, that's it, you're done now, right? Like, you're always going to be fixing them and evolving them. And so this would be part of that. As soon as you start to weave in a little bit of automation into your processes, it's going to push them to the next level. So what can be automated? Lots of stuff. Email. This is probably the first thing that you think of. You can automate email for marketing automation. Also with marketing automation, you can automate text messages. You can automate the classification of information. You can automate tagging people, subscribing them to lists, all that kind of stuff. You can track, you can add points to people for lead scoring. That's something that's like a classic thing to do with automation. But you can also automate human beings. And this is something that I think is important when we're talking about high-level services like interior design, kitchen design. You can, for example, use an automation to prompt a person on your team to do a thing at a certain time. And although it can be lovely to have a checklist somewhere for your processes, this way, basically, you don't need a person to be looking at a checklist. You can send an automated notification to someone at the right time, triggered off of something else. So it could be that you're sending a notification for someone on your team to write a handwritten note and send a gift, something that is very high touch like that, but the process itself is automated. You can also automate software, and we will be talking about this. What I mean by that is the movement of data from one place to another. So if you've got whatever software stack you're using, to use that kind of lingo, you know, like you've got your process stuff, and you've got your accounting stuff, and you've got, you know, whatever you're using for signing proposals, and you have all these things, right? Sometimes there's going to be duplicate information that is going from one place to another, and human beings are doing it. It doesn't always have to be that way. There are a lot of opportunities to automate that connection. We will discuss. But definitely not robots. So sometimes when I'm having these conversations with clients or potential clients, they will have that urge, and I totally understand it, to want to automate like everything, right? Like get rid of all the people, automate everything, you know, do it all. And I think the reality of this is more a weaving in. So you have your processes, they are documented, you know how a project goes. It's going to realistically be more like this happens, then something's automated, then this happens, then something's automated, et cetera, et cetera. It is not something that you set up and it just, you know, takes care of like all of your marketing or all of your sales, right? But that doesn't mean it's not amazing. There are prerequisites to automating something. This is important. You need two things, basically. There are so many different types of automation. We're going to talk about some of them. But what they all have in common is that they have repetition, meaning no exceptions. Exceptions are death to automation. If you've got an automation set up and you make an exception, let's say there's a client, a potential client, and they're like, oh, but instead, can we do this thing first? And you make that dreaded exception to your business model, right? Like, how well does that go typically? Not that well, right? So an automation, it's a requirement that you have repetition, that you don't have exceptions to whatever this tiny thing is that we're automating, but it's beneficial because once you decide, I mean, we're not looking to have repetition in our designs. We're looking to have repetition in our processes. So it's going to push you to make sure that you do that. The other thing that is required for an automation is a trigger. So we need something to make the automation happen at a particular time. There are a lot of exciting ways to trigger an automation. As some examples, a date arrives. So let's say that you have scheduled a consultation. If you go into your contact, if you guys can picture in your email marketing or your email automation software, whatever you use, you know how you would go to a contact. If you had a form field in there for a date for a consultation, you would fill that in. And once that information is in there, you can automate off of it a lot. You can have reminders go out. You can have prep emails go out. You can have notifications go out to staff members with whatever you need to do. All of these things can happen off of a date that is in your system. A list is joined. This is probably the classic thing that you think of. So like someone subscribes to an email list. A link is clicked. As I mentioned before, in an email, someone clicks on something. Now you can tag them as interested in something. You can subscribe them to a list. You can automate an email off of that in 5 minutes or in 5 months. A quiz result is generated. You can get custom there, send them specific information based on their results. A wait time passes. So you've got someone in some sort of automation already. X amount of time passes. Something else happens. Name anything. A text message is sent. We can do text to sign up. I'm going to show you guys an example of that live. a purchase is made. Obviously, purchase automations are possible. When someone purchases something, you can trigger something off of that. You can trigger a lot of things off of that. A form is submitted. A page is visited, so you can do like spy stuff like that, where someone visits a page and then you tag them, or you put them on a list, or you trigger something off of it. A field is changed, so something in a person's contact changes from one thing to another. You can trigger things off of that. A cart is abandoned. We've all experienced that, right? Like the, oops, you forgot this purse, and then you go get it. Sometimes a percentage of the time you get it, which is why they do that. And there are many more. Those, that list of examples is mostly focused on marketing automation. But as we'll discuss, there are a lot of other ways to trigger automations. So, when to automate? I think the easiest way to think about this is to think in terms of kind of the categories of, you know, the areas of your business. So, marketing. Tons of the most classic thing, probably the thing you think of when you think of automation. Sales, the beginning of the sales process, there's plenty of opportunity for automation there. Client experience, I feel like this is kind of like the underrated aspect of automation where you can get in there. Operations, so all that internal stuff, accounting, passing information back and forth, there's plenty of opportunity to automate there as well. So, let's look at some real life examples, some actual ideas for things that would be a great place to start if you don't have them in place, and opportunities to get creative, because that's where the magic really is. So a lead magnet. This is probably the first thing you think of when you think of automation. Someone signs up for an email list and then you deliver something, right? But what I want to get you thinking about is the fact that you can do it in interesting ways, and you can do it in ways that feel very well branded and can be a little bit more interactive. So just as an example, this is a client of ours who we did a style quiz. I always say about style quizzes, calculators, anything like that, anything interactive that is the most effective way to build an email list right now, anything where someone is interacting with it. So this particular designer, what we did there is when you get the results, so this is the it factor, which is a specific result for her style quiz. You get information, blah, 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 but you also get phone wallpapers that are custom to that style that you can like click on it, download it, put it on your phone. It's got a little logo on it for her design firm, so it feels very branded. This is like the wild one. But the point being that you can brainstorm cool stuff, you know, things that feel specific to your brand. This is a contractor in New York City, another client of ours. For him, we did a project calculator. So again, this is interactive. This is something where the potential client is plugging in a little bit of information. We are then spitting out an email back to them that gives them their ballpark estimate for how much it would cost for the job. We are qualifying it like crazy, as you can imagine. So like, if you want high doors and blah, blah, blah. So this is not like we're saying, like this is just ballpark. But you then have the choice with something like this. Just to say, when you do something like this, you can either just let these collect and, you know, send them like a nurture sequence, which we'll get to in a moment, and hope that they reach out to you. Or you can go a little more aggressive and reach out to people who do this, who take, you know, who use your calculator, who take your style quiz. You can reach out to them directly. So that's where we're talking about taking it from automation to more personal, because you can go back and forth. Then, probably the next thing you think of, but again, I want to like get you like thinking about ways to use it, would be a nurture sequence. So this, again, is automated. This is something where a person has done, let's say, one of those two things that we just looked at. And we are now putting them into an email sequence, the goal of which is to move them toward an action. And that action probably is to reach out to you. I'm just guessing. So for this one, this is a design firm in North Carolina that specializes in two things: new builds and whole home renovations. That is all that they do. But those two things, as you guys know, are quite different from each other. The person who wants one of those things, They have different needs. We're going to speak to them differently than the person who wants the other. So in this first email, after we've gotten them onto the email list with a lead magnet, we are offering them the opportunity to click on one of these buttons. I'm planning a renovation or I'm planning a new build. When they do that, they are, because of the link click, they are now being put into an automation, a nurture sequence that is specific to that service. I remember when we launched this site, within the first week, I had a meeting, like a post-launch meeting with a client, and they were like, oh my God, it worked exactly like you said it would. Like the people went through, they went through that sequence. They were talking about it. I mean, the thing about this is that with all of this stuff, it all comes down to good copywriting, well-branded design, you know, all the things that are important for anything else, you're just automating it. So it does not have to feel robotic. Auto response. This is another one. This is like one of the most essential things, I think, that you can do with your contact form. So this would be an automated response to a contact form inquiry or let's say an online booking. So let's say someone books online through like Acuity or Calendly or something like that to speak with you. That's great. They're going to get reminders from that platform. It's going to be a little bit impersonal. Or they inquire through a contact form. It is super easy in the big scheme of things, to set up a triggered automation that goes out to them once they have inquired through a contact form. In this case, the one I'm showing you, this is about to be launched this month, this site. We have, as many of you might have, a checkbox or a dropdown or something like that asking about which service they're interested in. So this particular firm, they're out of Boulder, Colorado. They specialize in resort design and uncommon destinations, so they do like fancy yurts and stuff, like very cool. So when the potential client checks this, they are then given they're sent a specific email to the service that they are interested in. It's going to have two projects that are good examples of that kind of work. It's going to have language that speaks to that kind of work in particular. It is customized, it is personalized. And this is one of the main things to think about. The more you can personalize your marketing, your automated marketing, the more effective it will be. Onboarding. So it doesn't end with marketing, is the important thing to remember. This is an example of a client who, this is someone who, let's say she's gotten on the phone with her potential client, she's done a qualifying call, a discovery call, however you want to think of it, and she has booked a consultation with them. So this is like the example I gave before. We are sending out a series of emails to the client once we're done with that. So that series is going to do things like, or can do things like, in this case, they're able to pay upfront for the consultation. Which, I mean, we want that, right? I want to mention, like, yes, you can do that through a shopping cart. Awesome, if you have one on your site. You can also use things like MyDoma packages for that. You can use you can have a form field on the back end in your marketing software where you put in like a QBO link for an invoice if it's something specific. I mean, I would want you to have the same price for every consultation. This goes back to systemizing, but if you wanted to make it specific, you could do something like that. But this could be part of a series that it could be one email, it could be three emails, whatever, leading up to it, where you are telling them how to prepare, where you are getting them excited, where you're reiterating your messaging, what is special about what's going to happen. And then you can do reminders. So if you have the date captured, then you can do reminders that go out the day before, the morning of at 8 a.m. Eastern time. Like you can get very specific about when you're sending which information just based off of that date. And super sexy topic, data entry. So if there's one thing that I would want you to take from this, it is the endless possibilities of what can happen when you look at the existing software that you have. So you guys have things like what? Like project management, accounting. You probably have like a million subscriptions, right? Like it's like a bummer to think about it. So what I would love for you to do is write a list of those pieces of software and then go to Zapier. Who knows what Zapier is? Zapier, I don't know how to say it. Nice. Zapier, if you're into automation, if you're getting into automation, this will be like your new favorite thing. You're going to love it. So Zapier connects platforms, seemingly unrelated platforms. It connects thousands and thousands and thousands of platforms. So if you go to Zapier with your list of software platforms that you use and plug one of them in, it's going to tell you all the different things you can integrate with and all of the different things you can do. So as a simple example, this is actually ours. When we schedule something on Google Calendar, Zapier automatically moves that event to our Asana calendar, which might seem like a dumb little thing, but that happens. So I can't even imagine if human beings had to do that. Like, it would just be terrible. We live in our Asana calendar. You know, we go by our Google calendar. That's how scheduling happens. But we live in our Asana calendar. That's where we, like, put all of our attachments and all of our notes and everything for all of those events. So to have that taken care of, it might seem small, but it's actually, like, a really big deal. And that's the kind of thing that you just go, literally, you go look up Google Calendar in Zapier, or you look up Asana, and you're like, huh. Oh, I can connect these two things, and it tells you all the options. And may I just stress to you, none of this requires code. So yes, you can hire companies like ours. If we build you a website, we will work with you on automation. That is pretty much always part of the process. But if you have someone on staff who is tech savvy, this is not a thing where you have to be a developer. So, to reiterate, you want to think in buckets. You want to think about the categories of the type of work, the type of stuff that happens within your business. Marketing, sales, client experience, operations, accounting, all of that stuff. If you would like a larger list of automation ideas, I have more for you. Text KBiz2023 to 773-770-4377. I will show that to you again at the end. But, question. And this is something that comes up in conversations. There's this sometimes objection/fear that a luxury service like interior design or kitchen design might not be a good candidate for automation, right? Because it's not going to be high touch enough for the clients that you have, right? But the reality is that automation can feel quite upscale. If you ever send an email to your clients, as long as it is well-branded and beautiful and the copy is written really well, the great news is that you do it once, and unless you tweak it, it's good. It's done for a while. So you can do a really nice job on it. You can make it extra gorgeous and feeling high-end and be done. But it's not just that, it's also that so many of the tasks that you can automate are not client-facing. So it's both. The client-facing ones can feel super luxurious, and the ones that are more like moving information from software to software, it doesn't matter. And dun dun dun, what about the tech? So, there are so many platforms that we're talking about here, like literally thousands. I think Zapier has like 5,000 integrations, right? So like we are not going to be able to talk about them here. We wouldn't even try, but I'll tell you what we use. So most often with our clients, we use ActiveCampaign. That is a marketing, email marketing and automation software. It is a lot of bang for your buck, even at the most basic level. It's like amazing. We have tried a lot of different things and that's where we landed. We also use Acuity a lot. That is our favorite for online booking because it integrates well with other platforms, and we appreciate that about it. And we personally use Asana. Now, I want to address the fact that, unfortunately, so like you guys use project management that is design-based, any like design-focused? Anyone? Like a Mydoma, studio designer, all that? Yeah, unfortunately, Not big on the integrations. Write your congressman. Yeah, it sucks. It would be good, actually, if people reached out to those platforms and asked them to really step it up a little bit on that. MyDoma actually used to have something. I'm not seeing evidence of it right now on Zapier, unfortunately, but they have tried. So it's great that they have done that. But even with this example of like these three types of software, when you get into email marketing automation, something like a Flowdesk or a ConvertKit would also do sort of similar things. Acuity, obviously, you can go into Calendly. Project management, also known, you know, these are more like client management. So things like this, a Dubsado or a HoneyBook, you can do like, you know, signing contracts, automating that, you know, getting that into triggering automations that like sort of like string that along and include it with other things. I think the biggest thing, you know, is number one, just make it, you can spend the next 6 months of your life trialing software and making yourself crazy. It is, she's not, it is terrible. Yeah. So like I can say to you guys, like, guys, just make a decision, just pick something because, and move on, you know, just get into it and make it happen. But I will give you one piece of advice around that. If we are caring about automation, then one quick thing that you can do is literally go to Zapier, plug, if you're looking at three different platforms, go to Zapier and see how many integrations those platforms give you. That's going to very quickly tell you how much power you have around that. Because if something is new, like Flowdesk is very cool. It was created in 2019, so because it is newer, probably, it doesn't have as many integrations as like an ActiveCampaign. So if integrations and the potential to automate are important to you, then that is a step you should take when you are researching. And then, of course, look at reviews naturally. The other thing to keep in mind is that you're always going to have overlap on your software, and we just need to like deal with that and be okay with it. So like something like a Dubsado does some of the things that ActiveCampaign does, right? It's good with automation, but you're still going to need something for email marketing. So you're going to need both, potentially, right? You know, ActiveCampaign, there's no way to sign a contract in ActiveCampaign. So when you're like looking at, versus you can with Dubsado. So when you're comparing these things, it can feel a little maddening. Again, you just need to make a decision. You don't want something that does everything because it would be bad, right? It would be like not good at something. So like we just accept that we're looking to get the best of one thing and the best of another thing and put them all together. So efficiency is beautiful, and automation lovingly forces you to be more efficient. Wow, I just banged through that. Any questions? Yes. Try it again.
So I've been working on efficiency and, you know, setting up processes and things for this. I did do the standard with Sandra Funk, so,
Know,
working on all of that. But I use Asana for my project tasks, and I used Dubsado more for my onboarding and email. And
great.
I had you both on both, but how do they both work for project management, or should I?
How do they both work?
Well, you had them both under project management,
yes.
So I just wanted to see, am I using them the wrong way?
So no, I would say if I were, like, what I know of them, I would say that, like, if it were me, I would end up probably using Asana more as, like, sort of task-based.
And that's what I'm
Yeah,
doing.
And
okay.
Then Dubsado is more automation. You're using it more for automation. You still need an email marketing platform.
Yes.
But that's the way
it is. I have one, but I'm not using it yet for this year.
You will. Yeah, you will. So with email marketing, my advice to you there, if you're going to, so what are you using right now?
I have ConvertKit.
Oh, good.
You just have to get that lead magnet for something developed.
Yeah. And I mean, the thing with email marketing, realistically, if you're going to do email marketing, just to say in general, over time, you will have a gazillion ways onto your email list. So don't, ConvertKit is a good one because you can have people get onto a list multiple ways, unlike a MailChimp where it kind of breaks as soon as you have more than one way onto the list.
Okay.
You have to have multiple lists, like awkward. But just don't get too precious about it, because over time, if you're doing it right, you're going to have so many different lead magnets. You're going to try different things. So just get it out there, you know? Just, you can do it. It's going to be great. Other questions? Claire Jeffers. Oh my God.
Stay where you're at. Okay. Hi, Nicole.
Hi.
Okay, so I wanted to ask that we, as you know, we are using ClickUp. And you mentioned that if you use something like, was it Asana, it could automatically go to your Google Calendar.
Yeah.
So does ClickUp have the same option? And the other thing I want to ask on that is, then does your calendar, because my calendar already looks pretty crazy sometimes when I look at it. So, and we get the email from ClickUp that says, here's your tasks that are like due tomorrow, overdue, or due today.
Right.
So would it be worth us linking it to a calendar, or would that be crazy? So
the whole thing with all of this is that it's just all about how you function as a business. The automations are to help you. So first of all, just an opinion, I would turn off those notifications. Those sound so overwhelming to me. Like, ugh. That, yeah, I don't want that. Yeah, but that's just me. So as far as how those things integrate, the answer is I don't know. But if you go to Zapier and plug them both in, you'll get all the different. Basically, what you'll see is on one side, you'll see like triggers. So we talked about triggers. So you'll see triggers, things that can happen off of one of those platforms, and then things that can happen because of those triggers. And then you just go through, we can help you with it. Claire is our client. We can help you with it, but you just go through and set it up. It's just it's a relatively simple process. You know, it's actually not too bad. And then what was your second question?
No, I was just really wondering if that would like make my calendar crazy. That everything that goes in.
Everything, yeah. I mean, that's just totally
pops up.
I like to have everything in one place like that and be able to, like I said, attach and add notes and whatever in a way that you can't do as easily in Google Calendar. And I like it all. I don't want to go to more than one thing during the day, but it's up to you. Okay. If it's like overwhelming to you, then.
Well, I'll just let you do it.
Yeah.
If it's too overwhelming. Yeah. Thank you.
Any other questions? Automation. All right. Yes. Oh, yeah, yes. Oh, where'd it go? Whoops. Are we gone? Is it gone? Oh, no, there it is. Okay, there it is. Thank you. The other day, or a few weeks ago, we had a rush of Suzanne's, like, as clients, like, 3 and 4 days, which, I don't know, maybe it's different for you, but that's a lot of Suzanne's for us. And literally Dana, my project manager, was like, I think we should do a purchase automation that's like, if first name Suzanne, and we send an email that's like, we apologize in advance for any mistakes we make around time zones or confusion or whatever. And it's like, haha, funny, but you really, that's like the kind of thing that you actually could do. You know, like that's a totally viable thing to do. All right, anything else? Okay, thank you so much for coming.
appreciate you so much.